Hello, welcome to Stone Cold Shots, the wrestling podcast where the shots are cold and the takes are hot. Every episode we will review and revisit a pay-per-view from current or classic WWE or Ring of Honor or whatever we really feel like. Before we get into that, we're going to introduce ourselves. So why don't you tell people your name and your favorite independent wrestler that's going to get poached by NXT this year.
I'm Josh Felix Pryor. I'm an internet darling. And the favorite on the Stone Cold Shots podcast. And I think Dean Ambrose is going to be poached by NXT.
Whoa. Right?
Dean Ambrose is going to be poached from WWE.
No, from AEW.
Okay. All right. Full circle. I like it.
I'm Lauren Maxine. Not internet darling.
You got there.
Just a regular darling.
I don't watch independent wrestling. I only learn of indie darlings from NXT, so I have no fucking idea.
Okay. I'm Campbell Falconer, and, you know, I think he's had a banner year. I think it's big things. I would love to see what Cody could do on a WWE stage.
Especially NXT.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I don't think Cody's had a great year.
Stick to the suits, pal.
Speaking of NXT, we're going to be talking about TakeOver today. The first TakeOver.
TakeOver 1.
TakeOver, not the first NXT pay-per-view.
Not the first NXT pay-per-view, but the first TakeOver in the TakeOver chronology. I think NXT is known right now as being, like, maybe pound for pound the most consistent, best wrestling promotion arguably in the world right
100%.
Now.
100%. Like, you're condensing so much good, you know, action, storytelling into, like, you know, 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that is how, like, week to week, the storytelling is really interesting. They give you just enough that you're satisfied, but you want a little more. But I think the TakeOver format of just, like, 5 matches, all killer, no filler, that they have clearly done from, like, the very beginning to now, and they've stuck with that. And I think that's really been working for them.
I don't think from the very beginning. I think they really came into their after reviewing this first TakeOver.
Hot take.
I'm just saying. First 2 matches.
I agree.
Fair enough. So I think this is the thing where, like, I know Lauren and I definitely were not watching NXT when this came out.
Sure.
Did you watch TakeOver 1?
Yeah, I'd been watching it live. I had, like, kind of, like, adopted the brand pretty early on. I think it had a lot to do with, like, you know, Generico or Sami Zayn coming over. And,
right.
Like, you know, they're really hot. Like, they started off hot, and the NXT weeklies were always a different flavor than the main product shows. So, like, the Raws and SmackDown. So it was a nice little break. It felt like, you know, a Ring of Honor or something like that right from the hop. But I think over the years, they've really developed it, and it's turned into a really good standalone product, right? So,
yeah.
Watching this going back, it was interesting to see where they kind of hopped off from.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's great.
So all that in mind, like, how did you like this pay-per-view, the pape, when it first came out?
I loved it. Like, honestly, like, I thought the whole show was really good. And, it built, right? So it felt a little bit like WWE pay-per-view now, where it was like, you know, some, like, kind of, like, lukewarm matches, but then, like, they definitely had some, like, shining moments throughout the pay-per-view, so it kind of paced itself like a regular WWE pay-per-view instead of, like, what we know now as the NXT pay-per-view, right?
That's totally a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Lauren, when did you start watching NXT? Like, what's your kind of first memory of, like, maybe first TakeOver that you watched?
I feel like the first bit of NXT, I might be wrong, but I feel like the first bit of NXT I watched was when you wanted to introduce me to who Sasha was. You had me watch the Sasha Bailey, is it Iron Man match?
Yep.
Yeah, Iron Lady match.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess, like, when I started watching NXT regularly, as opposed to that, was definitely something that kind of I went back and discovered.
Oh, okay.
And when I first started watching NXT was right around, and it's funny that you say Sami Zayn, because, like, my first thing that, like, the only thing that I remember about the first episode of NXT that I watched was it was Sami Zayn versus Samoa Joe in a number one contenders match.
Oh, okay.
To face Finn at, it would have been the TakeOver before Mania.
Nice.
And I remember that was a thing where it was like they put on like a stellar match. Sure. I had never really seen Samoa Joe before, but he was so cool.
So cool.
And I hadn't really seen Sami Zayn before, but I really liked him as well. And then Sami lost, and it was like he lost, and then the Titantron screen came on, and it was Shinsuke.
Oh, and amazing.
Chills, man.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, I was definitely watching NXT long before Shinsuke came, because I remember, or maybe not super long, but I remember that I was introduced to Shinsuke in New Japan, and I was primed and fucking ready for him to come.
Do you remember, like, the first person you remember in NXT? Like, what's, like, the first memory you have?
Like, I feel like it probably was Finn.
Yeah?
He's so hot.
Those abs for days.
He looks like a party sub.
It looks like a corn on the cob.
All right, cool. So, yeah, clearly we all love NXT.
Yeah.
And we can get ready to dive right on into NXT TakeOver 1.
Yeah, May 29th, 2014.
NXT Full Sail.
Yeah, the Full Sail.
Cool. So, actually, speaking of Full Sail, I thought it was interesting that, like, I'm very much used to, I've only seen NXT takeovers in big stadiums where they are doing, like, a full weekend sort of big four pay-per-view. So it was really weird for them to do this kind of opening package with all of this hype, and then it looks like a normal episode of NXT.
It's so funny, and, like, but, like, I think the NXT Full Sail Arena is the best venue for NXT.
I think so, too.
You know, because it's so intimate, and it's just, like, you know, again, like a Ring of Honor show, like one of those, like, really, like, if you're a fan of the product, you're there. There's very little filler. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, you get like people that are really into the storylines. They play along, and it's like it's just a good group, right?
It feels like every single person in the crowd is extremely invested in paying attention.
Yeah.
I would go so far as to say that it's maybe the best wrestling venue for any WWE show that is not main roster.
Yeah, totally.
And by that I mean they should start taping 205 Live at Full Sail.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Because people would actually care
about
those matches.
If you did it like the NXT format, like if you did 205, not to get too far off track, but like if you did 205 Live, NXT, NXT UK, all in the same format, because they're doing NXT UK, NXT, like, again, like, very similar. 205 Live, I think, would be stellar in that environment.
Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, like, they could film it right after NXT, because the NXT crowd is so diehard.
Just have them tour together.
Yeah.
All right, so we start off with Adam Rose defeating Camacho.
Okay, well,
let's
spoilers.
Not jump ahead.
First of all, we had the man come out. I think this is important. Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Accompanied by Adam Rose and Braun Strowman.
Yep. And Simon Gotch.
Simon Gotch.
And Carmella. We're talking about
the
Rosebuds.
Wait, what the fuck? Becky was one of the Rosebuds?
Yes.
I did not see her.
You can hear her singing during the entrance.
She is front and center.
Is her face revealed?
Big time.
She was like right beside him.
Yeah, she's not wearing the bunny mask.
No, she had like
not notice her.
Yeah. She had these crazy blue and white,
like, tassels in her
tassels.
Yeah.
Whoa. And Braun Strowman.
I saw him.
Like a gladiator outfit.
I wrote it in
hard
caps.
To miss.
Simon. Simon Gotch is dressed like a monkey playing a music box.
I thought it was like one of those like old beach workout.
Carmella's in there as well. I didn't pick out anyone else. But
yeah,
I'm
that's
sure.
all I got.
But it was like a fun little bit. I mean, like that, I've seen that picture of sort of the Rosebuds from this going around the internet before. I didn't realize that it was like this show, and it was nice to see them doing the whole parade and the whole entrance.
But even like the Full Sail environment, like how over was Adam?
So
Rose?
Over.
Like, it was crazy.
I was so surprised because I've never liked him.
Yeah.
He was there when I first started watching wrestling, and I thought that he was such a shitty, like, I didn't think he was a great performer, and I thought his gimmick was stupid.
But like,
so seeing him, but I started, like, the first time I saw him would have been him on main roster, I think. I don't think I ever saw him in NXT. So it was crazy to see how over he was at this NXT show. I was like, apparently he is loved.
It's like the No Way Jose. It's like the Adam Rose. It's like honestly, like, that gimmick or that type of gimmick only works in that environment.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Where it's
and
like
sad.
It's like
yeah.
everybody's in on the joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, and so as soon as you move it to like a more like it's like as kind of dumb, it's
a
like
more
why is
polished,
this on TV?
Yeah, yeah. Venue, yeah.
And so that's so I was gonna say we've got the Rosebuds.
Yeah.
And they were donated to Noé José's entrance.
Yeah.
So do you think once No Way Jose is released, is Eric Bugenhagen going to get the Rosebuds?
Yes! Yeah!
Or what I really want to see is an Eric Bugenhagen versus No Way Jose with a Rosebuds on a pole match.
Oh my god. Incredible. But they have to like do like the air band behind them. So yeah. Somebody's got to be on the drums.
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be playing keyboards.
I fucking love him.
We've been talking a lot about Adam Rose, but we have not given any thought to Camacho, a.k.a. Tongaloa.
A.k.a. Evil Sin Cara. was that good Sin Cara?
I don't know.
Camacho is for sure one of the Sin Caras.
A Sin Cara?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Like 99%.
I just completely
sure.
disregarded him because I was like, I've never heard of this
well,
person.
The music hits, I was like, who in the fuck is this?
Yeah.
I was looking at him, I was like, this guy looks really familiar, but he's also just a dude wearing khakis, yeah. So maybe I'm just thinking of a normal person.
Totally, but he was pretty good.
He was decent. I liked, it was like a decent story. It was just like, Adam Rose likes to party, and this guy has been fucking up members of his entourage, and now they're fighting. Like, and I think that's what works about NXT a lot of the time, is that like their stories are fairly simple. It's just good guy, bad guy stuff.
Sure.
It's like very classic, very old school. And like this, I think this match, it wasn't like a 5-star or 5-bald head.
I'll get to that
match by any means, but the story worked. Like you were, it was a thing where I was like, there weren't any huge spots in this, but it was amazing to see how well they kind of worked the crowd. That like everybody was very much behind Adam Rose. Yeah. Like the face was over with the crowd, and the heel was getting booed.
But if you compare it to, I guess like a current takeover.
Mm-hmm.
This is like an NXT TV taping match.
Totally.
You know what I mean? And that's the big takeaway I had from this. It's like, this could be on any week of NXT tapings, and I would be fine with it.
Mm.
Also, as soon as the bell rung, like, Adam Rose, I just wasn't overly impressed by. Camacho was fine. This was a very, like, by-the-numbers kind of match. It was just like, ugh, you know, whatever. But yeah, good guy, bad guy. It was fine. It was what it was.
That being said, I agree with all of that. Yeah. I was kind of impressed with everything that Adam Rose was doing other than wrestling.
Yeah.
I thought was really great. You know, like his prancing around, his like Fandango-esque
sure.
kind of like, oh, I'm a party dude. I'm a weird British
guy.
Very
flamboyant.
Like, very flamboyant. Yeah. And it was fun. It was really good. You know, like where was that in hashtag social outcasts? That's what they were missing, you know?
The Adam Rose dust.
I don't know. I wasn't super into him. I felt like I didn't feel the fire. Like, I felt like his eyes were always dead.
It really reminded me of, like, Paul London in the first season that he had in Lucha Underground. That
okay.
was, like,
yeah.
very kind of intriguing. Like, not something that I would be like, yeah, like, give him the belt, but, like...
Put the strap on it, brother.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it, you know?
Yeah. At one point, the announcer said that Camacho liked to have fun. But Adam Rose had too much fun, and Camacho doesn't like that.
I wrote that the crowd singing Adam Rose's song sounds like a super tone deaf version of that. Like, is it an Aussie chant? The one that goes like, oh, 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 oh,
That's. I also was trying to figure out if that's what they were doing. I thought
it
the exact
wasn't.
Same thing.
I was like, they're really fucking this up.
I can also listen to William Regal say Camacho and Umaga probably for every day for the rest of my life.
All right. So, Josh, how many bald heads did this get, if not five?
This only got 1.5 bald heads out of 5. You know, I wrote Baron Corbin beside it because that's the level of bald head that I would give this match. It was a very nothing throwaway bald head match. I mean, you know, if you look at Baron Corbin's head, it's like, yeah, he's bald, but he's not really representing the brand, you know?
So next up, we had the Sami Zayn video package leading up to his big match against Tyler Breeze.
Why was the video package there? Because, like, I thought that would be the next match, and I was very surprised. I was like, oh,
you're building the story. You're getting everybody excited.
It was misleading.
I've already paid my $9.99. I'm already here, baby. I'm ready for it. If you're going to show me a video package, I better be seeing a match.
Look,
if you're
going to
play my way.
I want the video package.
I better be seeing The Rock and Stone Cold next.
So I actually kind of liked the way that they paced this out, where you had, like, a match and then the Sammy package and then a match and then the Tyler package. Yeah. And then, like, it was building to it. And I also think this is a thing where it's like, one, I miss Sami Zayn so much right now. I wish that he was back and healthy and on the main roster. But this is the thing that kind of made me think, like, was, as much as I love heel Sami Zayn on Raw right now, or over the past year, I think that's been really, really fun. Was the Sami Zayn heel turn a missed opportunity in having a legit bona fide, just like straight babyface?
I don't think so. I think you need to build depth with him. And like, that's one thing I got after watching his interview.
Mm-hmm.
He was very flat.
Really?
Yeah. I got, he was like pretty flat. Like, I like Sami Zayn. I like his story. I like everything about him. He's like a nice Canadian dude. He's kind of quirky. Likes music. Like all this stuff.
He likes ska music.
Whatever. That's why I didn't put a hat on it. He likes whatever music he likes.
You didn't put a scally cap on it?
But, you know, he seems like, but he's very, like, whatever. Like, you don't really get a sense of who he is. And I think through turning him into a heel, he gets to show a little bit more of his, you know, personality, his kind of, like, quirkiness. And then that way, when you turn him back into a face, he can be, like, a mega face. Because you get all this range in, like, his character, his personality. And you're much more invested into the person, right? Because you disliked him at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, like, maybe you didn't even dislike him as a heel, but, you know, there's a lot more to grab onto there, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. And, like, I feel like he was sort of flatlining as a babyface on the main roster anyway, so they mm-hmm. needed to do something with him. Like, I really think they had to change it up for him, otherwise he would have, like, completely faded into the background, a la Finn Balor, or, well, not Shinsuke, because he's a heel, but, like... Yeah.
Maybe they're doing the same thing with Gargano right now, right? Like, where they had to, like, flip-flop him a bit so he has a little bit more depth.
Oh, but they did it so well.
I know.
For Gargano. On completely different, but, yeah.
So, I disagree completely. Okay. Watching this promo package was, I think, the most invested I have been in Sami Zayn as a character.
Really?
Like, this interview, where it was just like, man, like, everything that he's talking about like, traveling the world and, like, it's, I think it's, like, kind of a cliche now to hear about the indie darling who's struggled for everything that they've ever...
Yeah.
But it felt so sincere coming from him, and I think it's a huge issue with WWE main roster, by and large, right now. I think they're still able to do this on NXT, and I don't know if it's the crowd or the smaller venue or the production or the way that it's put out, but, like, there are, I can't think of a single face on the WWE main roster who has not had any portion of their career as a heel. And I think that, like, the thing that could be said for a very long time about Sami Zayn in his entire NXT career and in a large portion of his WWE career was that he was the consummate good guy, you know?
I get that, but, like, I think you can ride it out until it's done, right? Like, and, like, even here, like, I was still very much a Sami Zayn guy, right? Like, I wanted him to win. I wanted to, like, do the underdog, you know, celebrate all that stuff. But I feel like, you know, it's like, how long can you lose and then, like, overcome odds and then, like, you know, maybe win but then lose again? Like, how long can you write out that story, right?
And, I think the way that they kind of led into it was perfect, like, on his main roster gig. Because, like, I agree with you, Campbell, that, like, in this NXT takeover, the first one, I was very invested in him as, like, an underdog. It was beautiful. But he's did it, like, since... Like, this is 2014, it's working great, but, like, they had to change it up at some point because he was just stagnating on the main roster. And, like, I feel like the thing with Mick Foley, like, pushing him.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Pushing him and, like, that main roster storyline there, like, that was, they could have dealt with that better. But that was an interesting story where it was, like, Sami Zayn, it was like the Gargano thing. He's becoming unhinged because of how...
Yeah.
Much he wants it, but trying to do it the right way.
And maybe, like, it was me looking at my eyes now, looking at that promo for Sami Zayn. Like, I just was like, yeah, I've kind of heard the song and dance before.
Sure.
So maybe going back and, like, rewatching it, I was like, flat, you know? like,
oh, yeah, no.
I've seen it. Like, it's good. But, like, Sami Zayn as a face, I think, is, like, Gargano level. Like, you know, it's just, like,
so lovely.
This is, like, such a pure baby face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think just WWE's really bad at, you know, long-term booking.
Yeah.
NXT, on the other hand,
is great at long-term booking.
Fantastic. Yeah.
All right. We'll get back to Sami Zayn in a little bit.
Yeah.
Up next, unless there was like a toy commercial or something that I missed, Josh.
No, my next note is the
Ascension
theme we have, rules.
Yeah. We have a tag match where the Ascension defends their NXT tag titles against the Lucha Dragons, quote unquote.
Yeah, Kalisto and El Local.
El Local, aka
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, Alberto Del Rio's toweled announcer.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. This whole pape for me was just like seeing a guy and just Googling what they're doing now.
Well, for me, like, I totally forgot about El Local. It's like, who the hell is El Local? And then I like remembered Ricardo Rodriguez. Was a wrestler, and he, like, so back in FCW, I think it was, Alberto actually managed him.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, he was the wrestler.
Damn.
And so, like, it was funny seeing this because I had heard that Ricardo Rodriguez was going to wrestle in NXT. I was like, and then I saw his shitty tattoos. I'm like, that's 100% Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh my god.
Just a little chubby luchador.
He was awful.
He was so bad.
He was so bad. I was watching this and I was like, man, like, there got to a point in the match where I think it was like Kalisto was kind of getting beat down and they were building to like an El Local hot tag.
Yeah, he was the hot tag.
Yeah. Cool. And Kalisto sort of like, he pulls some reversal and he's doing all of his like Kalisto stuff. And I was like, man, Kalisto's so much fun to watch. I really, really forgot how much I love Kalisto.
Sure.
I think like they should have really given him an opportunity when he was the United States champion and like let him run with that. They could have. Like, they were clearly trying to do sort of, like, a new Rey Mysterio that, like, they really could have had. I was like, man, Kalisto's great. Kalisto's fantastic. They're building this hot tag. This is going to be fantastic. And then El Local tags in and botches every move that he does.
Like, he botches a springboard. I think there was, like, a Hurricanrana that he botched. Like, it was just, I was watching him, like, yikes.
Yeah.
Like, the whole time. Ooh.
And so, wasn't he replaced with Sin Cara in this tag team, like, less than a month after this
He
match?
Was. And like, I was thinking back on it, and then I started to remember, I was like, they wanted to give, like, Ricardo a chance, right? Like, outside of the Alberto role. Which, again, breaking those two up was the most ridiculous thing. And then, like, he went and, like, he's like, yeah, I can wrestle again. Made this tag team, and he was awful.
So
awful
bad.
Throughout the whole thing. Shitty tattoos aside, you know, I wish him the best. I hope he's announcing for somebody right now on the indies.
Little great. White scarf.
What I was thinking was, like, it kind of bummed me out to see this because it brought home how long they've been leaning on this, like, Lucha Dragons or, like, Lucha House
sure.
Party
mm-hmm.
thing where they just pair Kalisto with another Mexican dude
right.
or another luchador and that's just their thing and they just do the lucha arms and I was just
they're just having fun, Michael.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I don't know.
Also, can we talk about just for half a second, there's an announcement that JBL was the GM of NXT.
Yeah.
How
no
bad
way.
Of a decision was that? I cannot think, if I rack my brain,
I missed that,
of a worse GM of NXT than JBL.
I mean, like, since I've been watching NXT, it's been William Regal, and he has been
Regal,
and he has been the perfect, like, lawful, neutral wrestle dad, you know.
But if you think of a piece of shit who hates the indies, hates anybody new starting with the company, like, franks them to the point where they quit. And it's like, make that guy the GM of NXT,
yeah.
where all the indie guys are coming through. I could not think of a worse person.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a side note. The announcer's like, general manager JBL. I'm like, what?
I miss that. I'm so glad that they elevated Regal from his measly commentary role to...
Umaga.
He was Regal, anytime that he was talking about anything other than how to apply a chokehold, was so bad at commentary.
He was a little you know, off like, the whole time.
And it was hilarious for me because anytime he was trying to talk about, like, you know, character or, like, story or ring psychology, awful. But as soon as he was like, yes, this is what this move does to your wind flow, or like this applies pressure to that, I was like, damn, wind he knows flow. What he's talking about.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah, no.
Like, the other takeaway from this match was like the Ascension.
I was going to say, we haven't talked about the Ascension at all. Reigning, defending champions, longest NXT tag team champions
of
all time.
They were a real force to be reckoned with in NXT, you know? And like, I cannot stress how great their entrance music is. And their whole whatever it's like, da 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 da. Okay, you don't like it.
It's a precursor to the triggered double kicks of hashtag NXT loud.
Yeah, exactly. They got like the Illuminati on the screen.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of their entrance music, but I did make a note where I think like their entrance was really good and did make them seem even. Like, we were talking earlier about how it just kind of feels like an average episode of NXT.
Sure.
Because it's in Full Sail and the matches aren't, like, crazy good at this point in the show. But, like, they really seemed like a big deal coming out.
Totally.
You know? Like, that was a thing where I was like, wow, this is actually a great entrance. And I thought that their presentation was the perfect amount of... It was over the top and they were dressed up, but it wasn't as on the nose as, like... the recent War Machine, like, Viking entrance that was, like, cool, but went on for just so long.
That was so funny.
So long. Yeah.
And it was just like, all right, cool. Connor or Victor is wearing a chainmail bib, and, like, they look tight as shit. Like,
he's doing a reverse edge entrance into the ring.
Like, but for real, like, I was like, damn, this looks cool.
Yeah, it was
sick. Maybe I should get a chainmail bib.
We should all get chainmail bibs. And like Connor had that good thing where he, like, he stomped in the corner.
Yeah.
The whole crowd. Like, and again, like, this is the magic of Full Sail, right? Yeah. It's like, yeah, 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 right? Like, that was so good. And like, but I think like a team like the Ascension, again, could only really work in that environment.
Yeah.
And it's weird to look at because it's like maybe you just have a brand where like people stick around on NXT forever.
Right?
And they don't go back.
Why ascend? It ruins people.
Yeah.
Why ascension?
I think this is actually kind of a thing where one of the things that I notice about this show, we're talking about like El Locale or like Natalya coming up or Tyson Kidd coming up, is that it's like it's interesting to see how much kind of crossover there was at this point between the main roster and NXT, that you had people who had been on the main roster for a while kind of going back down to reinvent themselves or like do something a little different
or elevate somebody else
and I think that's a thing that like maybe they should look into doing more going forward. You know,
all of their brands are so divorced from each other,
and like I think a little bit more sort of like just back and forth between, like, when they do the superstar shakeup, send Rusev back down to NXT and have him just like terrorize NXT for a minute.
But like,
you have
three shows that have their own feel, like right now, right? You have Raw, which is like the very corporate Disney show.
Mm-hmm.
You have SmackDown, that's somewhere in between kind of an NXT show and a Raw show.
Yeah.
Then you have NXT that's very much appealing to like the indie crowd, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, why not just keep every flavor the same? And then just have like the superstars interchanging between them, right?
Yeah.
It's like for the shakeups, the drafts, whatever. Like, just like, you know, have Rusev go down, but now he's wrestling like a takeover style.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like have like, you know, like again, like I was like just looking like Sami Zayn, like not to get too far ahead, but like, you know, I can imagine him in a match with Gargano or like, you know, Ciampa or any of these guys. And just like tearing the roof off of the place.
Well, even when like I guess a couple of months ago at this point, but like when Ricochet was doing his North American title open challenge and Tyler Breeze came out and they had a great match.
Of course he did.
We haven't really talked about the actual tag match at all because it was pretty lackluster. Josh, give me the bald head rating there.
You got it. It's two bald heads or a Tobias Funke. It's Honestly, yeah, it's a bald guy, but it's still got some on the sides. So I don't know.
All right. So now we get the Tyler Breeze interview portion of the the night.
I forgot Sami Zayn getting changed in the dark for some reason. I noticed, like, he was getting his boots on, but the locker room was, like, completely dark.
Is that, oh, does he just, like, punch the locker for no reason? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's very broody. Like, yeah. I was like,
it's like Batman.
Tyler Breeze. Like, it was weird. Like, I was like, why is he getting changed? And there's, like, a single spotlight on him. Yeah. Like,
he's, like, listening to a sad Planet Smashers song. No.
No one. Yeah.
So yeah, Tyler Breeze's interview, like very, very kind of similar setup to the Sami Zayn, one. I don't have like quite as much to say about that, but
so what I noticed, like they were showing clips of Tyler as a heel, during this whole thing. And I forgot how good that gimmick is as a heel gimmick,
yeah,
like a true heel gimmick. He was taking selfies on people while they're, well, he's pinning them.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's awesome.
His little thing with Alexa Bliss, where he's like, do you want to take a picture? No, I meant of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, everything, like, through this, like, made me miss Tyler Breeze, because he nailed that, like, you know, arrogant, you know, narcissist, like, kind of, like, gimmick so well, and it really worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they also did a really good job of, in that video montage, like, selling how like strong his finisher is, like, because it was a thing where it was like, I feel like they didn't show as much of like Sami Zayn's in-ring stuff. It was more about him like sort of communicating, whereas this was a lot more about like Tyler Breeze is badass.
Yep,
like
he's the guy around here, and it's like the beauty shot was like a lot like the Sweet Chin Music,
totally.
You know, so it's like if he hits it, it's done. And like again, like all the build-up was just like Tyler Breeze is like the guy around here, and Sami Zayn like has to like overcome these odds, right?
I think the big thing, my big takeaway from this was like the very end of that promo package is where Tyler Breeze says he's a Tyler Breeze is more than just a pretty face. Yeah. Like I can be the champ. And it was a thing where I was like, damn, now I'm kind of rooting for the bad guy too. You know? Like and I think it's a thing where it's like that storytelling is I think become kind of the trademark of NXT, of those like shades of gray and those like really, really three-dimensional, nuanced characters that, like, you do have your classic good guy, bad guy setup, but the way that they book their bad guys are, like, they're heels who always think that they're the face. And I think Johnny Gargano is, like, the prime example of that right now. But I think, like, Tyler did a really, really good job of selling that, that, like, as much as he's arrogant, he is also out there to prove himself, just as much as Sami Zayn is out there to prove himself.
Because, like, that's a sign of any good heel. There's going to be an ounce of truth to what they're saying, right? Yeah. And then it's just, like, their, like, kind of twisted view on it, right? So it's like, yeah, like, you know, Kevin Owens, like, this is for my family. I'm a prize fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Then look how he, like, took that. And, like, the same with, like, Tyler Breeze. And, like, you know, like, that's all good storytelling. And I think NXT, especially, like, the TakeOver format, like, starts at this match.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, yeah, I have notes for each of their entrances. I got goosebumps when Sami Zayn's music hit, because I haven't heard it in too long and it makes me happy.
He walked out so well to it, too. Yeah.
Can I tell you? So the pay-per-view before this was Arrival,
where he has a match against Cesaro, right?
But he had like generic nothing music.
Oh no,
he didn't have his music.
And I had accidentally watched that in preparation for this podcast.
Gosh.
And my notes was like, what the hell was Sami Zayn's music? Sami Zayn comes out to generic jobber music.
Wow. So this was his first pay-per-view with his sick music.
100%. Yeah.
They didn't have the Stomp Records contract. Exactly. Yet.
Mighty Buddy Boston was signed on with CFO.
That's so sick. Because he does such a like awesome slow stomp out to the first part, and then he does the skank out to
it's
the
almost thing. Like he does it regularly.
I love it.
It's great.
And then it was weird for me to hear Tyler Breeze's theme without that drop into Fandango's.
Yeah.
But like, how good is this? Like, you know what I miss from the main roster, though? It's like, as soon as he went up, they stopped doing the zooms.
Yeah. Mm.
His zooms are so good. Like as soon as, like, the different drops in his music hit, like, they'd zoom in on his face, and he'd do, like, the eyebrow raise. And it was so good.
Oh, my God. Like,
they did it at the ramp, and they did, like, when he got into the ring. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I thought this match was fantastic.
Yeah. It was, my notes are, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. They are so good, so smooth. Sammy starts strong.
Yeah. Not to sort of jump ahead, I thought the finish was a little messy. There were, like, a couple of things sure. that seemed like it.
Yeah.
But overall, like, very ambitious.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I think, like, looking back on NXT, Sammy is, like, he's doing that indie guy style of wrestling. Yep. But he's pulling out moves like his that sort of like top rope moonsault that he does where he just like sits on the top rope and does a flip is like
I called it like what did I say it was like booty bounce yeah I said beautiful booty bounce backward flip outside ring onto breeze
if it's not called that it needs to be called yeah. that because that's very good and there's this spot where Sammy did his like usual spot where he dives to Breeze on the outside
mm-hmm.
and Breeze took a shit hard bump.
Ooh,
like
yeah.
he hit his head so hard. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, this is like the first takeover match, like, mm-hmm. like a takeover quality.
Yeah.
This match front to end was like a solid match. These guys like brought it hard. And
yeah.
I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I expect from like, a, oh, like
yeah.
an NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Sammy, especially he just has such a like intensity behind every one of his moves. Like he does it with such high energy that I really believe it, like that he wants it. Whereas
yeah.
like and that's what I meant when I said Adam Rose was just kind of like
lackluster
going through the motions
yeah.
and he had no like actual fire in his eyes, whereas Sammy like just in his body and like in his face too, but like he just seems like so intense about everything.
Yeah.
Like he just wants it.
It's a fire. It's a baby face fire.
Yeah.
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 This was great. Tyler Breeze sort of eked out the win there through some dubious
yeah.
means.
Telling the Sami Zayn story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like the finish, again, I said earlier that I thought the finish was kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
And I think that it could have been like a little bit more clear. Like, because I was watching it and I was like, what the hell just happened? How is that the like the move that gets the pin or whatever? Like, I was very confused as to what happened.
Like, the end segment, I think, like, Sami Zayn kind of messed up a blue power bomb. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Regal
yeah, yeah,
was
yeah.
talking about a double leg Nelson.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I've never heard that before.
Yeah. But yeah, like, great match from both of those guys. I don't really know what more can be said about that other than maybe a rating of bald heads out of 5.
You got it, buddy. This is a 3 3/4 bald head rating on this one, a.k.a. the Bill Goldberg. This is undefeated. You stack this up against any NXT match, and this would hold its salt.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, 3 3/4 on
out
this
of
one.
5?
Yeah.
I feel like that's...
That's pretty on point.
I feel like that's rough, but okay.
Listen, there's a match that gets a higher rating in the show to come.
Oh.
How many? Well,
is it the ladies?
It's the ladies.
Yeah!
Before we get to the ladies, though,
yeah,
we do have again more of this little sort of like sort of cross brand floating back and forth. We have Rusev and Lana, and a picture of Vladimir Putin.
Holy shit, that was. Oh my God, you're like breezing through this.
Well, the fans were chanting USA, but I thought they were chanting Rusev Day. Like
yeah.
legit. Like
that's just your future glasses.
But then I was like, Campbell's going to be really excited about this segment, and I'll let him tell you why.
Because my dude, future WWE and Universal Champion simultaneously, he is going to unite these belts.
He's
going to
be the first person in the WWE to hold every single title in the company.
Mojo Rawley!
Someone needs to come down there and shove this flag up your Putin.
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 Yeah, and then he gets...
he gets chopped out.
Yeah, he gets chopped out like a schmuck.
Yeah, I wrote, not even a match, though.
Yeah.
There's also an Eiffel Tower chant. Did
what?
You guys hear this?
What?
Somebody was chanting Eiffel Tower, and then, like, it caught on. was like, why is there an Eiffel Tower chant going on?
They've got their countries mixed up.
Yeah.
The other thing that really stood out to me from this segment was Lana's awful Russian accent. Because I guess like she hasn't really been cutting a whole lot of promos recently on the main roster, and I kind of forgot that she tried to do that for so long.
Well, remember there... I think recently she was trying to, like, segue out of it. Like, I think she was using her real accent more.
And then she bounced back.
And then she bounced back because I think there was such a blowback from it, probably.
From Russia.
Yeah. From Russia.
From Putin himself.
From Putin himself.
She looked hot, though.
I'm going to be honest. I thought the Putin thing was a little weird.
Yep.
Obviously. It was super off.
Doesn't really hold up.
The whole segment was kind of weird. I didn't give it a bald head rating, but I imagine I'd give it like a solid 3.
Really?
Yeah, minus 2 because it was a weird segment. But
so you thought
3
that,
because it had Rusev and Mojo.
Yeah, you thought that segment was almost as good as the Sami Zayn Tyler Breeze match.
Listen, I got 3/4 more.
You're all right.
Sorry, there's a little bit of commentary in here. So they do the thing where they show, like, look at all the people in the audience, right?
Yep.
And this was, I don't know if anyone else got this. My favorite was Tom Phillips saying, Kris Kristofferson, Oscar nominee, Golden Globe winner, and star of the Blade trilogy.
I heard that too. And that was the only one that actually made it through to me. That was the only thing that sparked recognition for me was the Blade trilogy. Like,
way to build there.
Yeah.
Like, what a career. What a Blade series.
It was pretty great.
There's also a sign in the audience right before this. Paige was coming out.
Right. Yeah.
And
oh,
it
man.
Said Paige the End. And like it was a book. And like one page said Paige. And the other page said the end. I was like,
is this
that sign didn't make any sense.
Is that like mean?
I don't know.
Is it in support of her?
I have no idea.
I will say, Paige coming out, she was introducing like the women's belt or whatever. Or sorry, the diva. Oh no, she was introducing the NXT women's belt. She has the diva's belt.
That's right.
Yes.
The crowd was dead for her.
Yep.
They did not like her at all. I felt really bad.
Yeah, she listed off a bunch of important things that it takes to be the NXT Women's Champion. And, of course, the most important thing it takes to be the Women's Champion is grace. The most important thing it takes to be the Women's Champion is grace.
Yeah.
Grace also being good at wrestling.
Oh yeah, that too. Paige, it was Grace.
So yeah, we have this is the end of a tournament for the recently vacated NXT Women's Championship, which is fun note that they still call it a Women's Championship, but it still looks like a Divas Championship.
Yeah,
it might as well be a butterfly belt.
That was one of my sad points. It has a little sad face next to it. Was pink NXT Women's Championship belt with like an boo to the dumb sparkly noise that accompanies it when the graphic goes over the screen. It goes like
dee! There's butterflies.
Yeah,
that's so in when they did the NXT title redesigns, like I really really am glad that they got rid of the like pink bejeweled women's, but I really miss the old men's NXT championship, that big square looking one was something that was just like a little different. It was like I think it was necessary to redo everything just to get rid of that women's belt. But I really, really like the old tag and men's.
It's like aesthetically, it was again, like you said, like pretty different.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it had its own look. It was a little blocky, but like it had like its own aesthetic, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It looked really cool. I feel like it was a very iconic look of like Shinsuke wearing that under his like open red leather jacket and like Kevin Owens kind of carrying it over his shoulder, like looked really good.
The
in
way
a
it
way,
looked against Finn's abs.
Yeah. But in a way that like doesn't necessarily like, I don't think like Ciampa with Goldie right now has like as iconic or as stark of a look as either of the aforementioned champs did.
It's like, you know, the big old gold eagle belt that WWE used to have, right? Like, everybody misses that, you know, and, like, we went to the stupid spinner belt. Like, people are going to miss the kind of, like, original incarnation.
The glow belt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And Daniel Bryan's hemp belt.
Vegan belt?
My favorite title right now of all time is Daniel Bryan's hemp belt.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
It's quite beautiful.
getting back on track a little bit, we have the finals of this tournament of Charlotte and her dad versus Natalia and her uncle.
I wrote that too. I was like, how do you think Jim feels about the fact that Brett, her uncle, is accompanying her out?
Can I say, again, like, I feel like
everybody watch your comments right now.
Yeah. We're taking such a long time to get to, like, actually Charlotte and Natalia, but I have to say, like, Bret Hart looks like such a fucking scrub. Like,
yep.
He looks like just like some dude that they pulled out of the audience.
He's also always so serious.
Seriously serious. But like, and also like, Ric Flair looks like he's aged about 100 years in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
He looks so bad now, and he looks so like Ric Flair then. Mm-hmm. And it was only 4 years ago.
I know.
Right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know. Bret Hart is wearing, he's wearing the one cuffed button down shirt of "This Isn't My Actual Kid."
Wow.
Hot takes. Yeah, he went to Valley Village before the show.
He's definitely not the best dress there ever was.
I feel like this is going to be kind of rude, but I feel like Charlotte looks bad.
Okay.
She's changed a lot. Like, I think she's had a lot of work done since, and she's become a lot more polished, even just in her makeup and presentation. But in this NXT match from 2014, she looks older than she does in current times.
Yeah.
And obviously a lot of that is like the work that she's had done, which is like great, but yeah, she looks haggard, and she's also so much thinner and less like svelte. Like, she gets fucking built.
I was
going to
say, like, the one thing I noticed about Charlotte is her confidence, right? Like, her confidence now, and she's a lot more her character now.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell
her.
This is a very, like, you know, like, unpolished Charlotte.
She's still super strong and confident, but not in the same way. Like, she becomes
really
so sure of herself and comfortable in her own body and all of her movements.
You got it. And it's like, and like, just looking at her now and like the way she carries herself, presents herself, like, as a contrast to this, is like night and day.
Yeah.
She was still like really great in the ring, you mm-hmm. know, like, she had like all the elements, and you knew that was just like a lump of clay that's going to be something really incredible. But
yeah.
Would you say she's looking real jacked now, baby?
Real jacked, baby. I was saving that for the main event. Because I looked at Adrian Neville and I was like, he's looking real jacked, baby. Looking real jacked.
I really, really like this match, and I think it's a thing where it's like, it's funny because we've seen Charlotte versus Natalia so many times over the past 4 or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Like, actually, honestly, one of the things that got me to start watching NXT was when we went to see Roadblock when it was in Toronto.
God,
yeah.
So
and that was
good.
A big thing with you know, someone in Cass coming out.
Mm-hmm.
was like a big thing.
Basically
that,
someone
like,
in someone.
Yeah, more or less.
Don't make him bury a G.
Yeah. But, sorry. Carmella and two chumps. but that was like, they did this match at Roadblock where they had Charlotte versus Natalia.
Yeah.
And it was a thing where it was like, that was the first time where I was watching where I was like, damn, Natalia can go.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But like, they've done this matchup. They've done this matchup with their family so many times over the years. It was cool to sort of go back and watch the first time that this has happened. And I think my biggest takeaway from this is, like, for all of the women in WWE right now, especially on the main roster right now, who have like submission finishers, who are like so-called submission specialists, we do not get enough matches like this match.
Totally.
Where it is like, this match worked like a Kyle O'Reilly match. This match was like counters and holds and
yeah.
and like, it was like Zack Sabre Jr. if he was interesting, you know?
Love it.
I love this match because to echo what you said, and the storytelling.
Yeah.
The storytelling all match was so good. And like, the elements, especially Ric Flair on oh my God, Ric Flair was Ric Flair to like the umpteenth
like
degree.
Slamming on the side of the
taking
mat.
His clothes off,
yeah.
like threatening to punch Bret Hart, like cocking his fist back, you know, and little
Bret Hart wondering what's for dinner.
Bret Hart wondering whatever he was wondering. Little Nate as a referee too,
yeah.
I think added
yeah, yeah,
something.
Yeah.
I mean, like, everything about this match, just like every move, like technically the match was sound.
Beautiful.
You know, it was really put together well. I think there was a lot of great storytelling. I thought like there's a lot of good drama. There's like a couple comedy spots. I thought this match was like almost as complete of an NXT match as you can ask for, and especially a takeover caliber match.
And yeah. Extremely well executed, like there were no fumbles or anything. Like
excellent executed. Like,
yeah. Yeah, there were like some really sick counters. Like it's rare for me to write down like wrestling moves that sure. happen or interchanges, but like I literally wrote down sick counter by Natty because she like Charlotte has her leg at one point when she tries to kick her and Natty does like a flip
mm-hmm.
and that causes Charlotte to like fall or whatever, and then they go into some sick submissions and like.
But you know, it's wrestling. Like all very on purpose, and it's all very like technical and
beautifully
like
done.
Yeah, like they both know what they're doing, and like even at this stage in Charlotte's like kind of journey to get where she is now, she really kind of she had the aptitude, right? Like mm-hmm. she had like the raw kind of talent.
And yeah,
it's just been refined, right?
Yeah, and I wrote down that like this was an especially stiff looking match. Yeah. Like it looked like they were. Going pretty hard on each other, yep. especially Charlotte, like, was really grabbing Natty's hair.
Yep.
Like, really grabbing the hair.
I totally know what that's like.
She, like, knew Natty's hair was real, and she was just like, I'm just gonna fucking grab it and get, yeah. like, a handful of it. I was like, wow.
That's
really hitting each other hard and slapping each other in the face.
Yeah, that's the stuff that elevates a match, right? Like, mm-hmm. so all the notes that we talked about, that extra, like, you know, like the real aggression, like the grabbing of the hair, the slapping, looking like really stiff.
Yeah.
That's what elevates a match, right?
Absolutely. And they did it in a way that didn't make it seem like catty girls
yeah.
slapping each other or grabbing each other's hair.
Just
it was
like a competitive
it was
match.
A ruthless mm-hmm. aggression.
And that's for me, for my dollar, that's mm-hmm. why this was a better match than the last match.
I also like wanted to note that I'm pretty sure the commentary says that when Charlotte does her moonsault off of the top rope, commentary says, I've never seen her do that before. Was that the first time she whips that out?
Maybe.
Because that's like her go-to.
Yes. I have no idea.
I was just like, if it wasn't, it's weird that commentary said that. But yeah. if not, that was the first time she does that. And that's one of her signature moves.
I feel like that's got to be like a note that she probably like talked to them about before
right.
the match. Like if she's going to whip that out, she'd yeah. probably like give them like a little heads up. Like,
yeah.
Hey, it was sick. This is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I really like, I don't know whether they had this for all of the matches or just for this women's one, but they have like a graphic of the belt over the entrance, like that this big screen that goes over top of the whole huge entrance ramp and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just this huge belt and it was up there during the match and it was like flashing. It changed from like NXT or whatever to the belt, and the belt graphic up there looked so cool, like, and it really reminded you like what these two people were fighting for during
yeah.
the match. It was sick. I really
like
that.
That would be awesome if they did that now, like
yeah.
like mm-hmm. the NXT title or the North American title.
It was
like,
sick because
yeah.
their belts are so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like it's way cooler than it just saying like in font like NXT or whatever. Yeah.
I know where I am. Okay.
How many bald heads?
Okay. Well, how many weaves?
Listen.
No listen. Weaves,
I don't
think at all.
You don't think Charlotte was wearing a weave? I feel like Charlotte wears a lot
Ooh.
Of weaves.
I don't know if she was at this point. That's why she looks so janky.
Oh.
Hot take.
Hot take. I can't speak on weaves. I can speak on bald heads.
Okay.
And this gets four of them. This is a Johnny Sins bald head match if I've ever seen one. And I know everybody's looking at me with a blank stare. Look at your adult websites.
Oh, God.
Also, we'd be remiss. I don't think we mentioned that Charlotte won the match, became the NXT Women's Champion.
Yep.
They had, like, a beautiful moment where Natty comes up and, like, gives her a handshake and a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone hugs each other and shakes each other's hands. Like, Charlotte goes up and hugs Bret Hart and stuff.
Yeah.
And Ric Flair is crying, like he is weeping.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I really don't like Ric Flair, but seeing that old man cry hits me
right
in
the
heart. Like
yeah.
he looks so sad when he cries.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, he loves his daughter so much.
And it's like you could tell it, like especially at his age, it's like just raw emotion, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's so proud.
He's so fucking proud of her.
I wanted to, because I feel like it's such a like a note of what is to come.
Yeah.
For Charlotte and like how that like because Paige was the first NXT Women's Champion, right?
Yeah.
And so it was like Charlotte is like clearly next in line to kind of like inherit not only the women's division on NXT, but clearly they were, like, from jump, they were planning really, really big things for her on the main roster.
And there's a lot behind that, too. Like, you know, Rick had recently, like, lost Reed, you know, his son. And Reed was touted to be, like, the next big Flair, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, and I didn't even, like, I know about that, but I didn't think about the timing of that.
Yeah, so it's like, if you think of all that, and then, like, Charlotte winning the title, and, like, how much it must have meant to both of them in that moment. Like, it was just like, it just added a lot to it.
Yeah.
It was a really nice moment, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And next up we have the main event. We've got Neville. Was he still Adrian Neville at this point, or was he just Neville?
It was Adrian
Neville. Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
Coming off getting his four teeth knocked out by Brodus Clay.
I did mention that.
I didn't remember this at all, and then they showed a shot of him on the ground with his teeth on the ground. I was like, what?
Rugged.
And Tyson Kidd, which is...
big-breasted boy.
It was honestly
Triple
weird.
Triple B.
It was really weird to see Tyson Kidd not sitting on a couch watching his own matches.
Oh.
With their cat? What's their cat's name?
One? There's like 12.
I don't know.
So many cats.
I don't watch Total Divas.
So many cats, so many couches, so much misery.
So much watching old wrestling videos.
Well, at least he didn't have to listen to his own theme on the couch because it is terrible.
Yeah.
Lightning on the ground.
I did write that down. I wrote so terrible, and like the mixing was just terrible in that like it was louder than the commentary and stuff like that. It was just like
just horrible.
Yeah.
This was kind of interesting because like I've never been a huge Tyson Kidd guy. Like I feel like his injury happened fairly quickly in terms of like my timeline of when I was watching wrestling.
Yeah.
So that like I remember Brass Ring Club a little bit when he was teaming with Cesaro. But I never really got like a big feel for him or like what he was about. And so this was kind of cool to see him like do his thing and like I appreciated him more in this match than
Tyson
I have
Kidd?
Previously. Tyson Kidd, yeah.
I thought that he wrestled very well, and I felt the same way about, like, almost the same as I did about Adam Rose, where he was wrestling very well, but he had no intensity in his face and in his eyes, and he wasn't selling the moves in the same way that, like, Neville was, like, screaming and, like, breathing, and
like,
Tyson
like
Kidd kind of got, he kind of got a little more involved towards the end, and I literally think it was because he was just gassed, but, like, I didn't feel a whole lot of intensity from him.
I think Tyson Kidd is, like, your classic wrestler definition of, like, a good hand, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, he's a great worker.
Yeah.
And you can throw him in there with anybody, and he's going to have, like, a solid match.
Yeah.
But and he's not telling a story.
Kind of like Randy Orton.
Ooh, I take. I totally agree,
like,
though.
I don't think that's not an unusual opinion at this point.
It's not.
And I think that's like a pretty good sort of assessment of what this match is overall, where it's just like, this is a good match. This is like, there's some cool spots.
They did a good job like trying to build some kind of story and stakes, the commentary did, by like, having like they kept repeating over and over again, this is Tyson's last chance to prove himself, which I didn't really get. Like I was like, is it really like his last shot? Like, is he gonna be fucking fired after this if he doesn't get it? But I guess what they were saying was like, he's had so many shots, so like no one will take him seriously after this. I also really liked how Natty, like, he had this moment with Natty before, and he gave her his wedding ring.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He took off his wedding ring and was like, hang on to this.
Aww.
I'm going to go beat some ass.
He broke up with her right before the match. No.
I want a divorce.
Yeah. It was sweet. It was very cute.
Yeah.
That's very sweet. You know, and it's like, I think it's like one of those things where I was like watching it, like, you know, like to get off Tyson Kidd for a minute, but like Neville is like so green and like just like in his, you know, like promo and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like a different person. Like he's morphed like into a curmudgeon and he's done something with his face. I don't know, like, you know, if he just sucked on lemons, but like he's like scrunched up now and he's got this raspy voice and it's so much.
There was also like, I feel like having watched Neville, like King of the Cruiserweights.
Yeah.
I haven't watched Neville in fucking Dragon Gate or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to pretend.
Same.
Yeah. I'll catch you in AEW.
See you down the road.
But like his work in sort of main roster WWE and 205 Live, I was really expecting like a lot more high flying from this match than we really got. Because I feel like there weren't really a lot of like big flippy Neville spots outside of the Red Arrow at the end in this match.
It started off very slow.
Very slow.
And then in his credit, like, it did a good job of building, I'd say, about like the halfway point in the match. It really picked up a lot of speed, and like they were both like there was this really great I'm gonna forget, but like a Russian leg sweep off the second rope.
Yeah, that was a great spot.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and there's a lot of like these just like good spots.
Well, the spot that I kind of took notice of being like, oh, where they had a spot where they were doing a sequence and it ended in a double drop kick and then a kip up.
Yep.
Where they kind of mirrored each other, which I thought was like, this is a very Young Bucks kind of like, this is, you can kind of see in this match, I think. And like, I don't, again, because I wasn't really watching wrestling at this time and definitely wasn't watching NXT at this time, I don't really know, but this definitely feels like kind of the beginning of the sort of like modern indie style breaking into WWE.
Yeah, that's fair. Also with the Neville's entrance, I was like, it gives me hope for Ricochet's entrance, because I was like, this is pretty much carbon copy Ricochet's entrance, right?
Yeah.
I was like, Ricochet's entrance is so cringy,
it's awful,
so bad. And I'm like, well, maybe, like, you know, Neville was like, he evolved as a character. I'm hoping maybe Ricochet can get some going.
But the problem is that like Neville started without a cape and they gave him a cape later, whereas Ricochet has his fucking leather Final Fantasy wings. And like, who knows, like, they're gonna give him a crown or like a Kenny Omega gun.
Okay, I'd be into a gun.
Comes out with a real gun.
But yeah, this match definitely felt like it was a good match, but it wasn't necessarily fully realized. And I think it was like definitely sort of laying the groundwork of the style of wrestling that NXT has become kind of known for at this point, with a lot more of those like Ring of Honor, like PWG style spots, you know, that like, I think with like Ricochet and Gargano, and they're kind of bringing in a lot more of that like independent wrestling sensibilities to their matches, where it's like, I'm fine with sacrificing story or ring psychology for doing cool shit.
To an extent.
Not all the time, but like, I think this is definitely a thing where like they were doing a little bit of that. You know,
I think definitely to an extent. Ricochet really pushes it for me.
Ricochet definitely pushes it. Like,
But like, I think if like if this pay-per-view was in today's, you know, day and age, I think the match order would be shifted, because this match would have been perfectly slotted in somewhere like either like the co-main event. Or like halfway in the card.
To me, I felt like the women's was way more
100%.
There was way more story behind it. So thus it was a, like, and I thought it was a better match anyway.
They told a way better story.
Legacy versus Legacy is just cooler.
Bell to Bell, it was just a better match. You know? Like, I think again, like being like, again, like 2019, if it was going now, I think
it probably would have been. They're a lot cooler about shit like that now.
Yeah, I
did really like, there was like, I don't know if this is the leg sweep that you were talking about off of the top rope. I wrote, there was a super cool oopsie somersault out of the ring.
That was not the same.
It was sick. They were both up on the top rope, like in the middle, and they kind of somersaulted out.
Can we just like watch wrestling with you and then have a notepad ready with like all the comments that you think are the names of the moves?
Yeah. I know. I
would love to get like Lauren as a play-by-play commentator.
I know.
We just need a running tally.
I love
of these
wrestling.
Names.
I just don't know what the names of the moves are.
I guess I'm saying is like, your names of these moves are way better than the actual move names.
What can I say?
So Neville retains his NXT championship.
Yeah.
And how many bald heads did this get?
It gets 3.25. You know, it's a Vin Diesel, maybe in, I don't know, like Fast and Furious 7, not a Triple X.
Okay.
You know, that level of Vin Diesel. It's not a full Vin Diesel.
I think that's fair. I think that's accurate. Yeah. All right. So that was kind of the pay-per-view as a whole. Before we give our sort of final verdicts, we like to do a little high spot and a botched spot. So you're favorite thing and your least favorite thing about the pape as a whole. I'm trying to make pape a thing.
It's not gonna be
a thing. Stop trying to make pape a thing. My low spot is JBL being the GM of NXT. Yeah,
fair enough.
100%. That's the most absurd thing I heard all night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to give it up to like Ric Flair in Charlotte's Corner for like the spot of the night for me. It's like the match itself was like the match of the night. But like Ric Flair, like being in old form, like cocking his fist back and looking at Brett, telling people to shut up.
Yeah.
And then like throwing his, like him stripping and like doing the whole thing. Ric Flair being Ric Flair, like when he's on, that's my favorite thing in the world. That's so fair. That's my high spot.
Nice. Lauren?
I'm going to start with my low spot because I don't really know what to do for it. So I'm going to say, I can't even remember what she was saying, but during the Natty promo package part, she was saying, I'm going to be the first female, like, heart whatever champion, or like the first female NXT champion or whatever. She kept saying female over and over again, which always is just,
you sound like a Ferengi.
Yeah,
it's fucking weird. Like, it's a weird thing to say. So that's just gonna be my low point.
All right.
And my high point, I guess, since we already called out the Putin
that can flag up the Putin spot, line.
No, I have another. It's fine. At the end of the Tyson Kidd Neville match, Neville goes up to give Tyson Kidd a handshake, and Kidd just like pushes past him and exits the ring. And as he's leaving, someone from the crowd says, "What a D-bag."
It's 100% going to start that chick. Yeah. Just a quick point on that. I watched the last 5 minutes expecting like an ROH guy to run out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because like this pay-per-view goes like, I think it was like 6 minutes after the match ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm so like conditioned to NXT.
I thought.
And I'm like, who's going to run out?
Yeah, I was waiting for it too. But
yep.
So my high spot, very, very small. It wasn't necessarily something that was great, but it just brought me a lot of joy seeing it. If you're at home and you want to look this up, it's at about the 11 minute mark. All right. Adam Rose has just defeated, Tongaloa, AKA Camacho. How does Regal say it?
Camacho.
Yeah. There you go. They're playing Adam Rose's theme song to play him out. And I don't think Regal knows that the camera is on the commentary booth because he's got two pens and he's air drumming to his theme.
Oh my God, really?
It's amazing.
It's awesome.
I literally like, want to watch that right now.
Tom Phillips is like staring into the camera talking and Regal's just in the background. Like,
just having a time.
Yeah.
This is why I love Regal, because when he's like, as I know him now, as head Regal. Of NXT, he's so regal. He literally is like just a very like upstanding Brit. And it makes me so happy that he has such a great sense of humor. And his great sense of humor comes out in the commentary anyway. Like he says really off color things that don't really make a lot of sense, but it seems like funny.
Yeah.
Brings me joy that he's actually like a Bugenhauer at heart.
Bugenhagen!
Whatever.
I think we're all a Bugenhauer at heart.
And that, not to like bring it down a lot, but I think we can talk about this a little bit, that like my low spot, honestly, like watching this whole pay-per-view was, I think, just like knowing what is coming for the majority of these people.
Oh.
It, kind of a thing where it's like knowing that like Neville is going to get pushed and is going to reach like really great heights as a cruiserweight champion, and then just his career with WWE is just going to die, and he's going to get so fed up and he's just going to leave, and that Adam Rose is going to come up and he's going to have all these issues with like, you know, substance and wellness, and like he's going to leave, and Sami Zayn and Tyler Breeze are never going to achieve like any greatness.
Let's hold off on Sami Zayn,
but it's a thing where it's like Sami Zayn has never held a championship in WWE.
I think it's like, to add to that though, it's like, how cool would it be, like, just watching the show to see, you know, a majority of these people go back and like face some of the NXT roster now.
Totally. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I kept thinking that, like, Tyler Breeze back down there actively, Sami Zayn,
mm-hmm.
Charlotte having a match with, like, you know, like anybody on the roster right now would be so great.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like, totally. And I don't want to be, I don't want to say like, oh, it's too late. You know, like there's definitely like they could turn around and the Ascension could unify the tag belts.
It's gonna happen, baby.
but it's almost a thing where it's like, last episode when we were talking about the Vicky Guerrero Women's Championship Invitational Battle Royale, and we were talking about like, this sucked, but like, it's great knowing what is coming for all of these women.
Sure.
This is almost like the complete inverse of that, where I was watching it, where I was like, this is great, but I know what's going to happen to Kalisto.
And like, you know? And Paige and Tyson Kidd are retired.
Yeah,
now.
Especially Paige and Tyson Kidd, like neck injuries, retired. Like,
it sucks.
It's like the Attitude Era. Like, honestly, if you go back and watch the Attitude Era, like just like how many people are dead now. And like, you know, like just like kind of like the left turns a lot of like these guys have gone through, and it's just like, oh man, that sucks. But like, you almost have to disconnect yourself when you're watching wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very much like, especially in the 80s and 90s, there's so much like heinous shit going on.
Yeah.
You know, like, and again, a lot of people that you thought would be like something that never turned into anything. I think NXT is like kind of like the best case scenario, because if like the worst thing that's going to happen is like the Ascension's not going to get pushed on Raw, we're doing all right. Like, yeah. You know, it's like,
But if we want to end it on a high note, the women are doing extremely well right now. Natty and Charlotte are both huge, and especially Charlotte is like on top of every fucking game. Like, she's
gonna main event WrestleMania without Becky Lynch.
And even also, Becky's like gone from being in Adam Rose's posse to being the man.
Yeah, like one half of the WrestleMania main event was on this card.
Yeah.
In the first match, and not even wrestling.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I don't know. Like, if you think about it, it's like this match, this card was like just like really like, it shows you how far we've come in NXT, right?
Totally,
like,
absolutely.
You know, it's so great to see. Like, yeah, this was like the hop off point, but like, you know, like even having the filler matches at first, condensing it down, and just having like a pure good wrestling storytelling show. It's so much better than it was.
It's so much better. I can't tell if it's because I'm not super invested in any of the characters from this NXT that we just watched, because I wasn't watching at the time. But I feel like nowadays, every single NXT match in a takeover is excellent and extremely engaging, whereas this one wasn't quite that way for every single match.
Yep.
They've come a long way.
But the women's match was like a pre-revolution.
Totally. Yeah, you know? They had it down from the beginning.
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah.
So, overall, did you have a bald head rating for the
whole show?
For the Pape?
Just one big bald head. I thought this was a great show. I'm not giving it a 1 out of 5. Just a big old bald head.
With
I didn't have
one
an overall.
One women's championship sparkle
sound. Polish. That's called a buff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Stone Cold Shots. We'll be back again with our next episode.
Let's go.
Come on, baby.
Lauren, can you give us one more Bugenhagen to sign us out?
Oh, okay.
Beauty.